go out with them or you go to eat with them, they're like, they're rude to the waitress or to the Uber driver. I'm like, I'm gonna need you to stop. I'm gonna need you to be nice.
You're listening to The Traditional Millennial with Brittany Dotson, where conventional meets contemporary and faith fills the gaps. Welcome back to The Traditional Millennial. I am your host, Brittany Dotson, and of course, we are going to go ahead and just jump right on into this episode today. So, I have had my fair share of friends in my life, some good, some not so good, some still in my life, some not so much, but nonetheless, I've learned a lot from failed friendships and fruitful ones also. And you know, and I wouldn't necessarily say failed, that they just weren't designed for my life the way that God saw fit for them to be. And I wasn't for them. And things just didn't work out. And that's okay, because everyone we come in contact with isn't meant to be in our lives intimately, and not everyone is meant to stay. But as I've gotten older, there's a line that I draw with opening up my heart and my space to people as it deals with how close I allow them to be to me and how deeply I get involved with them or how long I stay involved with them. I want deep, meaningful relationships, not superficial, surface relationships. There are certain things about people that we need to take as warning signs that they may not be bearing or want to bear the fruit of the Spirit, and they won't be good for our lives. But the Bible does say that bad company ruins good morals. And it also does ask us, what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? And we have to really think about those things. It doesn't mean that you don't try to win people who are lost or who are not in Christ, but you may not need to necessarily stay around them and build intimate relationships with them. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 12 and 26, it says that the righteous choose their friends wisely. So today, I just want to point out some obvious and also some not so obvious signs that maybe you are involved in a fruitless friendship. And now, hold up. I am in no way, shape, or form telling you to cut someone off. That is not the point of this episode today. You let the Holy Spirit lead you in that. I just want to give you some biblical insight for choosing people for your life and keeping people in your life. And there is a list of things that the Bible says about a friend. So we're going to look at those things that the Bible says. So first and foremost, let's be clear though. We need relationships with people because we need community. We need the social interactions, the lessons, the wisdom, the encouragement, the camaraderie, the fellowship, and all that good stuff. We need it. But in knowing that we need each other, there are still things we should look for and maybe even look out for in people. So Proverbs 17 and 17 says this. It says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. So true friends, they show you love no matter what. And not just you, but they show love to others as well. So I don't know if you've ever dealt with someone who's nice to the people that they know, but then when you go out with them or you go to eat with them, they're like, they're rude to the waitress or to the Uber driver. I'm like, I'm gonna need you to stop. I'm gonna need you to be nice because this person is handling our food and this person is driving this car and you don't know what state of mind these people are in. Get it together. But yeah, that ain't showing love. And we need to make sure that we get that correct. But a true friend loves at all times. And so they are a loving person. They're not loving just towards the people who are close to them, but they're loving towards everyone. Also, a true friend, they give sincere advice and it comes from a place of gladness in their own heart. Like it says over in Proverbs 27 and 9, they mean what they say when they say it. And it brings gladness to your heart because they do mean it. And so if your friend isn't bringing joy to your heart, but anguish, you really need to question that friendship. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 tells us also that a true friend will rebuke you if necessary. But it comes from a place of love. And if your friend is correcting you, then they are also showing faithfulness to you. They are faithful in that they have pledged allegiance to seeing the best you come forth instead of unnecessary riffraff. They don't want you to look foolish in any way. They don't want to see you hurt. They don't want to see you embarrassed or disappointed. So they help to guide you with good godly wisdom so that you can guard your heart. And if you look on down in 27, in Proverbs 27, it says in verse 17 that iron sharpens iron. This is a popular one. We've all heard this. People use it all the time. So to go along with giving you good, godly, loving rebuke, they also make you more useful and not useless. They make you better. They positively influence you and they make you wiser because they impart wisdom into your life, not frivolousness. That's why you have to be careful who you converse with and become deeply involved with, because some people bring the flesh out of you, which is the same as bringing the worst out of you. Remember, our proclivity to fleshly desires is already there. We were born with that. So you don't need people in your life to feed that part of you. You need people that guide you closer to Christ so you learn how to tame it and crucify it. Now, this is a good one. A true friend avoids gossip. I don't know if y'all know anybody who likes to sit up and talk about other people's business, but these people exist, and that is not good, nor is it godly. Even outside of a life in Christ, that's unhealthy. I don't know if y'all remember, we used to say in school all the time, MYOB, mind your own business. That's what a lot of us need to learn how to do now, because it is unfruitful to be a gossiper and a busybody and to make it your business to be in everybody's business. Proverbs 16 and 28 says, a dishonest man spreads wrath and a whisperer separates close friends. A person whose heart is contrary. Now, this isn't what the Bible said. This is just me talking. But a person whose heart is contrary to that of God and who likes seeing confusion and mess and likes to stir the pot or talk about other people, it's not a good friend, and they can potentially cause you to lose friends. Another indicator of a true friend is that they know how to forgive, and they want to seek the best course of action to preserve friendships and not just walk away from them. Now, if you are dealing with a person, though, who displays things that are contrary to just what we just talked about, then you may consider walking away if you can't help them and they don't want to be helped. But a true friend doesn't hold grudges. They don't keep bringing up old arguments or disagreements. They forgive and they move forward with you so that you can remain friends. You know, there are some things that happen in friendships that may not be a reason to like lessen your dealings with someone. Like maybe you always have to initiate contact. This is something that you can discuss as friends to get a better understanding about that and let your friend know how you feel about it so that they can better understand where you're coming from. And then they'll know, too, how you want to interact in your friendship. Now don't get me wrong. Effort should be mutual, but this effort may be shown in different ways because we are indeed different people. And if they don't do better, or if they don't ever contact you, or if they don't ever show effort in being your friend, then maybe they don't want to be. But this some stuff like that, things like that, small, minuscule things like that are things that are worth discussing with someone that you care about. Now, this is one that I say is very crucial, and that's loyalty. A true friend is loyal. If you're rocking, they're rolling type of loyalty. Now, y'all not rocking and rolling to a drug deal, but you know the good stuff. Y'all rocking and rolling to the good stuff. But that's something that I can say that I feel is missing in like this Gen Z culture and this younger generation of folks. You see more of them setting each other up and stabbing each other in the back and just doing things that are abnormal from what we define as a friendship. I mean, they'll throw each other under the bus like nobody's business, but then they call each other friends. Yeah, I don't really quite get that. But the last thing I want to bring out is that a true friend helps you when you need them. But this is not just one-sided. Again, this is something that's mutual. The help may take on different forms because we have different needs, but you know that you can count on each other for this help. As believers and how we deal with relationships, in this particular instance, friendships, we have to look at the fruit of people's lives, because being unequally yoked applies in this type of relationship as well. I think we discussed this a little bit in a previous episode. What does what your friend is producing say about the spirit in which they are operating? What does their character say about them? If you look at the fruit of the spirit, you see the means by which we produce fruit. The spirit. So if someone is devoid of him, then you'll know by what they do. You'll know by how they treat other people, how they interact with other people, how they respond to the things of God, and how they even treat you as a friend. Now, we all have things that are just fleshly constructs that we are pre-programmed with that we can work to change. But if you're dealing with someone who is not exhibiting any type of growth or effort to work on their fleshly ways, then this says a lot. For example, if you're dealing with someone who is inconsistent and moody and they deal with you in that way and they always make excuses for their behavior versus owning up to their behavior, then they may not be working towards having the discipline to resist the power of the flesh that's telling them to be mean or to be unfriendly towards you and to other people. And they may not be faithful in their dealings with you and others because they can't just commit to being that consistent, hospitable neighbor or friend. And this also speaks to how loving they are. We talked about that a little earlier. If they can't treat people nicely most of the time and then repent when they don't treat people nicely, then the love and kindness part of the fruit of the spirit just might not be sticking. Maybe you're dealing with someone who always has something wrong with them, or they rarely have a positive story to tell, or they can't share the goodness of the Lord with you, or they are a habitual complainer. Like, even in the midst of you trying to encourage and uplift them and witness to them and guide them, then they may not be finding joy in the Lord. I don't know. Are they takers instead of generous givers? Are they selfish? Does everything have to be about them? When you call them just to chat or tell them something that's happened in your life, do they somehow make the conversation about them? Are they a person who consistently does things to benefit themselves? Do they have a hard time rejoicing with you or others when something good happens without making it about themselves? How sensitive are they to the needs of others? Do they try to compete with you and outshine or outdo you? If you have an idea, is that idea all of a sudden something that they do without telling you? Or do they feign support for you privately but never publicly support you because they really don't want to see others support you because it could possibly lead to a success that they don't want you to have? Like, all of these things are things that tell you a lot about the person you're dealing with. Because as we grow in Christ, we should be exhibiting more positive attributes of godly character. And if you see things like this in someone who is your friend, and if these things are not indicative of the fruit of the Spirit, if you talk to them about this, do they receive it? And do they actually work to apply it? Now, you do have some people who will, as my brother-in-law say, get with you all day long, but they never actually manifest any true change. They'll act like they're listening and that they're paying attention. They'll act like they're taking it all in, but they never change anything about themselves that shows that they want to live according to the Spirit of God and just do better. So let's say you've examined all of that. You've examined the fruit of a friend and they show signs that they might just be a little iffy. Compare their lifestyle to that list of the works of the flesh. Look at that list, which isn't all inclusive of everything we shouldn't do, but it is pretty jam-packed with enough to keep people distant from God. But look at that and ask yourself, okay, if my friend isn't displaying fruit or the fruit of the Spirit, are they committing acts in line with the works of the flesh? And if so, are they okay with it? You know, some people, they will be straight up with you. They will straight up tell you, I know I'm not right. I'm not even going to try and pretend I am. You know, I'm not. I need to get it together, but I'm not together. And I respect that. I respect people who are honest like that. But then you may have people in your life who will swear up and down that they and Jesus are besties, but they don't work to do anything the Lord says do. Or they may be one of those people who do some of those ritualistic things, like they go to church or they pay their tithes, but they are doing other things that are a clear sign that they are living in contradiction to the Word of God. And it doesn't have to be things that are always like apparent. So say, for instance, you have a friend who is trying to covertly promote a situation that could cause conflict between two people. I mean, they would be someone who may not necessarily be exhibiting hatred themselves, but they're sparking others to feel hatred toward one another, which leads to division and arguments. This is like the person who whispers gossip and causes drama. Your friend, they may not be doing this with you. But even if it's between other people, it affects you because you're connected to that friend that's causing it. And the true test of whether or not this person is working to become a better person is if you mention their behavior to them and how it's affecting other people and they deny it or they refute it instead of actually confessing it and even apologizing for it. Then you may know what type of friend you're dealing with. But then you do have things that are pretty serious. I mean, all of it's serious to me because it tells you a lot about the character of a person. But things that are blatantly indicative of a person who doesn't mind breaking like covenantal agreements is maybe a friend who thinks it's okay to cheat on their spouse or to sleep around and defile their body that belongs to God. Or maybe they're okay with being dishonest. All of these things, whether they're major or minor, they stem from the same place. It's a heart that's not fully given to God. But if you have to continually question the character of your friend, then do you really need them as a friend? Can you trust them as a friend? Or do you have yourself tangled up in a fruitless friendship? No. So when examining friendships, you have to ask yourself some stuff. You have to ask yourself, how can this person help me further the gospel and carry out God's plan for my life? Can I support what they do because it's in line with God's will? Do they draw me closer to Christ or to my purpose in Christ? Do I feel that they pour back into me how I pour into them? Or am I tired because they take a lot from me and I feel like I'm always exhausting efforts and contributing to their life and they are just incapable of contributing to mine based on where I am in my life? Does this person have me tied up in a fruitless or fruitful relationship? You have to know this. There are so many important things to consider when dealing with friendships. When we think about sacrifice in relationships, we tend to only think about marriage and parental relationships. We don't consider the various nuances to friendships that have a sacrificial element within them. Jesus was so serious about friendship that he said this. He said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You may not think that it's that extreme, but since we need friendships and we need those type of mutual bonds, the best way to cultivate them is to just follow the example of Christ, or you will continue to find yourself in fruitless friendships. And y'all know we do not want that. All right, that is a wrap for today's episode. You know, that episode just really ended kind of weird. I don't know. Anyway, maybe I just got discouraged talking about fruitless friendships. Maybe I should have twisted that and started talking about fruitful ones. Well, I'm just going to tell y'all this. Fruitful ones are the opposite of fruitless ones. So take everything that was fruitless in this episode and flip it. Anyway, I truly do appreciate y'all for hanging out with me today. Listen, I need you to connect with me on Facebook and Instagram at Brittany Dotson Music. Also on Instagram at Traditional Millennial Podcast. You know, I would love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much for hanging out with me today on The Traditional Millennial, where conventional meets contemporary and faith fills the gaps.